let's begin. So I want you to imagine a morning at a typical church, and the Lord's Prayer has just been spoken out loud, and many people, because they're so used to life with the Lord's Prayer, they've recited it out loud as well. And in that congregation are two individuals. One of them it will call Otis, and Otis has been sitting in that congregation for a couple years now, listening, learning, and we'll call the other one Jenna, and Jenna has also been engaged. And so here's how the Lord's Prayer went that morning, which they were citing from Matthew's version of it. And the prayer went, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now, you got to know a little bit about Otis. Otis was raised in Miami, and early on became a part of a gang down there. And I know that's foreign to some of your experiences, but for him, it was the only way in which he could find acceptance and value and a sense of meaning in life. And so he did that lifestyle for a while. And as the Lord's Prayer was going on, he had this memory flash into him, particularly when they recited, "And give us this day our daily bread." He heard that, and it flashed him back to a time when they would make his buddies would make him go up to little Haiti and grab out of one of those little house restaurants on the corner food to go, you know, the good stuff, you know, oxtail soup and stew and rice and beans, and he'd take all those cartons back down to the South Beach Park, and there under a palm tree around a picnic table or two, him and all of his buddies would sit around, and they would eat and talk and what their next thing was they were going to do. And there's something about it, as Otis, who's now been in this church for 3 years, being an apprentice, so to speak, being discipled by the church, he's remembering that meal together, and he's thinking, "And I hated that lifestyle. I couldn't stand the violence and the self-pleasure that we took in everything. But man, I miss the intimacy of relationship. I miss the value of being able to fully trust others, somebody having my back all the time and knowing that." So he wondered if daily bread for him this morning, as they prayed that prayer, meant something else other than just food and shelter. He wondered perhaps if it could, for him today, be deeper relationship, deeper friendship. The other person sitting in the congregation that morning was Jenna. And Jenna is really kind of an artist all of her life. But she had really become kind of what we might call a heaven seer early on. She had an ability to see in creation, to see in relationships, to see in her home life, little glimpses of heaven. And that's what she would create. And being a creative, she loved putting that artwork out there. She went to college for art, and she found herself really at times in creating her portfolios and whatnot, reminiscing about home. And one of the pictures she had, too, is that prayer of daily bread went through, was the bread that her mom would make every Saturday morning. And it would be there sitting in the sunlight coming through the window onto the kitchen counter, and she remembers even taking a picture of it one particular morning, and she's like, "Wow, that's just so beautiful," that she actually created a oil painting of it, and she called it Mama's Daily Bread. And it was just one of those memories. You know how we all do, right? When we say these prayers, when we're talking to God, things kind of flash back into our memories. And Jenna that day, though, realized something about herself. She was about 30-something odd years old, and she had lost a love for, really for the Lord. She had lost a sense of being centered in Christ. she had gotten to a point where she was more concerned about the mediums in which she was doing her art, the quality of the art, rather than finding the glimpses of heaven. And so she wondered that morning if the world was getting so dark that she would not ever be able to see glory again until maybe heaven came. You and I are living in a time, an economy of viral rule and reign. The social craze is fueling it with pandemics and infodemics. Politics and norms seem to speak the loudest, new norms. And maybe you're wondering, as you heard that Lord's Prayer this morning, if God will deliver us from such evil. I want to read to you this morning from the scripture, as I mentioned before. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, and then we'll do 11 through 13 later in a few minutes. But as I read this first parable of Jesus, and as you read along with me, I would ask that you think about this one question. Let it ponder in your mind and your heart. What are you going after right now when it comes to God and when it comes to your needs? What are you actually going after when it comes to Him? Let's read Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 10, just a few verses. And He said to them, that is Jesus, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been shut. And my children and I are in bed. Can I get up and give you anything? Verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And Jesus says, I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be opened. I want to say to us primarily 2 main points here this morning. The first one is this. Go after God during these times. Go after God like He is the only one who has the authority in these times. Go after God like He is the only one who has the authority. Now let's get a context, shall we? A full picture of what this means in this scripture. This particular parable is sandwiched, so to speak, between the story of Mary and Martha, the Lord's Prayer, and a picture of a generous father and pursuing child, followed by a miracle of healing and a teaching on Christ's power and a bit of a rebuke for certain types of leaders. With that in mind, when Jesus says in this parable that there is a requirement of the friend to answer the door and provide, it's because in the Palestinian home of that day, it was very common for people to be able to be traveling along. They show up too late, and when they show up at any house, they can knock on any door. It did not matter. And even if they were a stranger and knew nobody in that home, that person was obligated, right, to become the hostess for them, even if it was past the hour and they were in bed. So they would get up and provide them something to eat. Now remember, it's not like us today. We've got our freezers and our refrigerators. We've got our ovens and microwaves. But back then they had nothing. So every morning they had to make their bread. They had to gather at the market their fruits and any vegetables available and any meats. They would prepare those foods that morning, and then they would eat that throughout the day, and they would leave some in case somebody came knocking on their door. This is the cultural context in which we find this story, this parable. And it comes from a deeply rooted truth that they were all likely taught. And that's this. It came from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 to 28. And just ask the Lord to maybe speak to you about this in your own life right now as well. Proverbs 3, 27 and 28 says this. Do not withhold what is good from those who deserve it. If it is within your power to give it, give it. Do not send your neighbor away saying, get back with me tomorrow. I can give it to you then. When what we need, what he needs is already in your hand. Think about that. Here we have a story, a teaching by Jesus saying that you and I need to be ready to give. But it's a story really about God and what he is ready and willing to give if we persist. In times of darkness, persistence by those who love God is even more required. Because we need to behave like those that are in the light of God with our everyday fellow man, our neighbor, our co-worker, no matter what our circumstances are. Consider what Romans chapter 13, 11 to 13 says, what Paul wrote to the church at that time. He said, and now consider this. You know well the times you are living in. It is time for you to wake up and see what is right before your eyes. For salvation is nearer to us now than it was when we first believed. The darkness of night is dissolving as dawn's light draws near. So walk out on your old dark life and put on the armor of light. May we all act as good and respectable people, living today the same way as we will in the day of his coming. In other words, live life on earth as it is in heaven. I believe the light is closer today and brighter today than it was even in Paul's time. What can you say? How is that it? How is that possible? Well, Paul says that it was brighter then when he was speaking than it was even when he was a child. The light is ever increasing in our world. It's hard for us to see that because we are so caught, so enamored with what is in front of us, with the material. But if we look through and see the spiritual as well, then we can see the light is constantly breaking in. The kingdom of God is breaking through over and over and over again. It is brighter today than when it was when Paul's time. It is brighter than when it was in the dark ages. It is brighter than all the times of the last pandemics that have come across our shores in this past seven decades. It is brighter. The reason we go after God is because we need more than just daily goods. We need his authority right now. A kingdom truth is this. We only get that authority if we go after that authority. Three verbs that Jesus used, right? Ask, seek, knock. Each one communicates the idea that it is an increasing element of which we put forth energy in the pursuit of God and all of his authority in us and for us and for those around us. Ask. It's the petitioning. It's the asking. It's, Lord, will you do this? Seek. It's going out after those places that we all need to exercise that authority in. Knock. It's looking at the doors of opportunity right in front of us, knocking, knocking, knocking. And if when they open, we press in. the purpose of this parable, Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 10, as we read the first part of it, is this. It's to directly awaken us to act on the daily bread that God gives. Daily bread has been interpreted, I think, through the meant for quite some time, especially in the last few decades, as meaning the provisions, right, of everyday needs. But I think in the context, it means more than that. Daily bread means the daily authority of Christ to be exercised in the moment. Our opportunities to work in the power of His Spirit. The kingdom is the outworking. Notice Jesus constantly is speaking in the Gospels about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light, His kingdom. The kingdom, when we hear that word, is the outworking of the divine will. It is, as we could say, the acts of God Himself, His presence having an effect. Therefore, it is the works in and through us that we do. But these works of the kingdom are never subject to us. In my Pentecostal and early charismatic days, I tried to be in control of the power of Christ's Spirit. It was so easy to make it about me. Later, as I swung into more conservative and even the evangelical kind of path, I tried to sometimes hide the power of Christ's Spirit in the name of service and compassion. Again, it was so easy because I was making it about me. When we make it about Christ and His authority in the moments of today, we find ourselves so in the middle of doing the works of the kingdom that nothing can prevail other than the kingdom. The reason you go after God is because you need to use His authority by the power of His Spirit. That's why you go after it. You go after Him. Can I just take a moment? I feel like I need to say, ask the Lord to do something. Holy Spirit, I sense, Lord, that you're turning the lights on in somebody's heart and mind right now. You're opening up something. I just ask in the name of Christ that you would increase that power in them right now. That they might see who you are, even now. Sense that Lord may be giving somebody even a spiritual gifting right now. Maybe it's pictures that you're seeing, maybe in your mind's eye. Maybe God's revealing something to you about a past experience or your current experiences. Maybe your hands are warming up because there's heat starting to flow into them. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to pray. I pray, Lord Jesus, right now that you would just work in that person. Jesus' sole purpose was to reflect and to demonstrate God's person and presence. Jesus' kingdom might be unseen to us often, but it was to reflect and demonstrate God's power and presence. The breaking through of every day until the final breakthrough of the consummation of all things in Christ. Jesus' apprentices, His disciples, are to live under and exercise His authority in the midst of darkness. That's what you and I are called to. That's what we are asked to do right now in these days. Otis longs for relationships that are authentic and trustworthy. In times like we're living today, it's important that we not allow isolation to rule
Amen.
The day.
Amen.
Even further, to alienate those in the church family that may be newer to Christ, but are just out there drift right now because of the social isolation. Press into those. Further, our attitudes can demonstrate in word and deed Jesus' patience right now, His kindness, His generosity, His ability to look a stranger in the eye at the grocery store, and to draw people in that are near to the kingdom of God with great effect. Jenna will only find her way back into an intimate relationship with Jesus, resulting in greater creativity if she sees God like a friend who will open the door, who can't wait to show her amazing and inspiring things. That's only going to happen when we, walking alongside of her, even virtually like this morning, bring the authority of Christ into her situation.
That's right.
We are similar to one another right now in that we have much going on that we are all dealing with. We need to go after God, even in our isolation. We need to face individualism face to face. We need to not allow our emotions to rule us, but to allow the power, the authority of Christ to rule us. Why is it we're going after God? How do we get a sense of his authority, though, in our lives in times like these? The second thing that I would say from the next part of the scripture is this. Go after God like he is the only one who has the agent of that authority. Go after God like he is the only one who has the agent of that authority. Listen to Luke now, chapter 11 again. But now we're going to finish with 11, 12, and 13 verses. Now suppose if one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Again, let's make the connection here in that this is another parable trying to wake us up to the truth, and there's imagery involved in it. The snake, the scorpion. Well, you know, there was actually a fish that looked, it was a water snake, and it actually looked, you could look down, and if you tried to grab it, it kind of let you grab it. And when you pulled it up, it wasn't a fish. It was one of those wiggly guys coming after you. There was also a scorpion that, when it curled up into a ball, it looked kind of like an oval ball, and it was like a snake. And Jesus just, the people listening would have known exactly what he's talking about. Okay, God's no trickster. Okay? He's not going to do something to do the old bait and switch on you here. He's a good heavenly Father. And that's the imagery we see here, isn't it? We saw it back in the prayer, our heavenly Father. We see it when he talks with Mary and Martha and how Jesus is demonstrating fatherhood to them. We see it here now very explicitly that we have a heavenly Father who is generous and kind and full of love and willing and gracious enough to provide that to us now and all good things. But what do we notice that he is willing to give? Because remember something about Jesus. Like our lives perhaps now, and even more so, like the lives of many of those who are impoverished around the world, that Jesus, it is said of him, he had no pillow to lay his head on. One tunic, and even that was taken away when he was 30 years old, or 33 years old. Jesus had very little. He lived very simply. There was a contentment in him, and a peace and a power in him. And where did it come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. And it says here, what does he say? Does he say to ask for more Facebook, more Instagram, more Netflix streaming, more bandwidth, more YouTube TV additions? Can I get Epics now? I mean, no. Jesus is he asks people to ask for the Holy Spirit now. And it didn't matter the circumstances. Paul said that the one thing, the secret of life is contentment. And with no matter how little or how much you have, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have it all. It is a matter of being so wrapped up in the armor of life that nothing can touch us, nothing can shake us, nothing can destroy us. You without a job? You got unemployed just before all this mess? Did you go on furlough this past week or two? Are you struggling with what is going to happen next in my life? Is fear and anxiety trying to rule the day in your life? Jesus says, ask for the Holy Spirit to come. Just say, come, Holy Spirit. The purpose of this parable is to reiterate that our prayerful actions are to be in relentless pursuit of God and in demonstration of his kingdom rule today and in the days to come. I believe the main idea of Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13 is simply this. When we go after God, after our heavenly, generous, and available Father, Jesus the King delegates authority to us to relate to his Spirit in doing life and doing everything that we have to choose to do today. We do it in partnership with the agent of the Holy Spirit. An agent is one who takes an active role and produces an specified effect. And that's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the one when we ask him to come, who is the one who the scripture through as we go and survey it, we find he is the one who comforts. He is the one who indwells us. He is the truth of Christ in us. He is the one who transforms us. He is the one who teaches us. He is the one who renews us. He is the one who gives meaningful gifts. He is the one who unites and builds us up. He is the one who assures us.
Amen.
And guides us and fills us and baptizes us with his fire, with his wind. He is the one who convicts us when we are at fault and need his forgiveness for the way we've treated somebody else, who we treat when we treat the stranger on aisle 7. He is the one who comes and empowers us. I'm asking you today to ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. How do we apply this truth in our lives? Let me get practical real quickly here. Firstly, I would dare say that we need to renew our image of God daily. That's, boy, you might have a little bit extra time because you're not commuting. So take that time. Use it. Don't just do more work. Get into pursuing God. Go after him. And renew your image of him. I'm guaranteeing you, in times like this, your view of God can change. Worst thing someone once wrote that could happen is that we end up showing up in heaven and God has to change for us. My friends, that is not going to happen. God is changing our view of him, and he wants to do that today. During this time, I'm personally, every day, 10, I set my alarm on my phone for 10, 12, 2, 4 o'clock p.m. And those little anchor times go off for me and remind me in that moment, whether I'm working or not, to just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to come into those circumstances, into the experience that I'm having right then and there, and to give me eyes to see what he's doing. And oftentimes he's renewing his view of himself in my heart. I'm also using, I know this is going to sound strange to some of you, but I'm using what's called the Pray to Go app. It comes out of a very different stream of Christianity than I'm a part of. But the Pray to Go app has, it's got a song, it's got a reflective piece, it's got prayer, it's got things that are helping me see the gospel of Jesus Christ a little bit more clearly as we lead up to Resurrection Day. In these 40 days, I am taking time to intentionally renew my understanding of who God is. So I encourage you to do something similar. Secondly, besides renewing our image of God, I would encourage you to pursue your calling during these times. Listen, just because it seems like a lot of things are on hold, your calling is not on hold. Your calling is not furloughed. You are who Christ called you to be. He has given you a vocation, And you can do it in various forms. So the first thing I want to recommend is clear out the clutter. You know, when it's time to ramp back up to the new norm, I want to encourage you, clear out, have the clutter cleared out of your life. That may be physical, that may be emotional, that may be relational, that may be spiritual, but clear the clutter. And I want to encourage you, if you need some prescriptions from a good doctor on how to clear the clutter out of your life, you might try out this particular book, Margin by Dr. Swenson. This was particularly helpful in my life and very affirming of what I saw years ago, I read a few years ago. And I just want to say, this is a good read for right now. This is going to give you more margin for God and fulfilling your purpose, your calling in life. So I want to recommend it today. I'm not endorsing it because I don't get anything out of it, but I do want to encourage you as a practical step. If you got some time, read it. Download it on Amazon. It's pretty cheap. So, fulfill your calling. You might also take another step right now. What's the next step God's got for you in the dream that He's given you? Is there a future door, a future opportunity that you can take steps right now in pursuing, researching, praying over, getting others to advise you on right now? Take steps towards that dream right now. That's so critical. And with the authority of Christ empowering you by His Spirit, watch out. Who knows what's going to happen during this stage of life? So, firstly, again, I encourage you just to renew your image of God daily. Secondly, pursue your calling. And thirdly, another idea is to love your neighbors who are in need. Go after them. Just like you're going after your calling and like you're going after God. Go after them. Get connected with them in a healthy way, regardless of where they are with God. It doesn't matter. Somebody in a next door apartment, down on the flat, down the row, is there somebody in your neighborhood that you can connect with? Specifically, go after them and make your willingness to support them somehow, some way. I know some of you might say, I just don't know if I can do this. You ask God what God's given you authority for and do it. I posted on our Facebook page for our neighborhood. Some of you are watching right now through Facebook Live. Good to have you here. I want to encourage you to, you know, as our family did, we posted on our neighborhood HOA page that, you know, we were willing to go pick up groceries, prescriptions, whatever, for anyone in the neighborhood at any time during the week. We also posted that, hey, you need prayer? Well, we particularly like praying for the sick and for the fearful and for those that are anxious or depressed. So give us a call and we will pray with you. If you're really courageous, we'll come to your house because the authority in Christ in us will give us the authority to pray for you in that moment, and we will all be healed and healthy. So we're doing that. One of my neighbors also offered to do yard work, him and his team, for those in the neighborhood. It inspired me the other day. I was out mowing my front yard in the 1-inch thick pollen coat that was coming down from the trees, and I was out there, and I knew I had an opportunity for me, and I just asked the Holy Spirit, do you want me to mow my neighbor's front yard while I'm doing this? And I was quickened to do so. Later, my neighbor must have noticed, and he texted me, and he was just like, man, thank you. I was not able to go outside, and really, I needed to do that, but I just couldn't do it because I am so allergic to this stuff. And so I was like, oh, wow, God just, in a very small, simple way, expressed His love and kindness. We have the authority to do that. So I want to encourage you, be friendly as well and gracious. And when you go shopping, can you do me a favor and do God a solid here and just smile at people, look them in the eye when you're shopping? It feels like everybody is looking down at their feet while they're shopping and right now. And if you're wearing a mask, could you draw a smiley face on that mask for us, please? People to open up again, because this fear is ruling and reigning, and it does not have the right to do so. We as Christians, you know, I remember the little the thing that was going through the world a few decades or the church ago is like, man, Christians are always smiling. We got to get these people to stop smiling. So I want to restate, it's time to start smiling again and engaging people with the joy of Jesus. Because that is our strength, is his joy. And it needs to be expressed through our faces. So get out there, smile, make conversation even. Look for what the Spirit is doing. If you're taking somebody shopping who's elderly and doesn't want to touch anything, look, you know, as you're walking with them, the Holy Spirit gives you a word of encouragement for them, gives you a prophetic word. Speak that into their life right then and there and see what God does. I mean, we have, the doors are all out there. Let's knock on them, shall we? Let's knock on them. All right, so again, the main idea here is that we go after our heavenly, generous, and available Father, Jesus the King, and delegate authority, who delegates authority to us as we relate to his Spirit in doing life. I want to say thank you to New Dimensions Church this morning, Pastor Everett, who is providing for me the opportunity to be able to relate God's love this morning. I just want to say this to your church, New Dimensions Church, and others, you will hear this as well. What a great church down there in Newnan, Georgia. Their mission, your vision statement is to be a church of ordinary people who do extraordinary things by demonstrating the love and power of Jesus to your community and to your world. Let me just say this today. Is there not a better mission statement for all of us right here today? And so I applaud New Dimensions for what they're doing to try to be that church in Newnan, Georgia this morning. If we can, I'd like to just pray with us in close. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you called us to action this morning. Your word has called us to walk in the Spirit of life and power and your presence. And I know there's a lot of people dealing, just seeing the comments pop up on Facebook this morning. There's people that are fearful and are dealing with anxiety. And so, Lord, we pray for your Spirit right now, regardless of where they are with Christ, where they've been relating or not relating to you, would you just right now let your Holy Spirit of comfort fall on them. Let your peace prevail in their life, Lord. For those of us, Lord, that have been convicted of we need to do something for God right now, we need to pursue him more, we need to renew that image, we need to get out and serve people, then, Lord, I pray, as Joshua was told, for us to move out of our position, to be ambassadors of the kingdom. And as you said to Joshua, no one, including this evil of that's behind this pandemic, will be able to stand against us. Right. I ask for the renewal of your church and the revival of Western society to emerge through this time.
Amen. Lord.
I ask that the weapons of our warfare not be used in our defense, but to be used in pursuit of all things on your sovereign rule. And finally, our Father in heaven, I ask that you would reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others.
Thank you, Jesus.
Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil.
Yes.
You're in charge. You can do anything you want, Almighty God. You're ablaze in beauty.
Yes.
And amen.
Amen.
I'll be posting this particular